The state of Arkansas's motto used to be the land of opportunity. That has been replaced by the natural state for several years. But the word opportunity is going to get mentioned quite a bit in the next few minutes and over the next several months. Governor Asa Hutchinson announced this week the state is submitting 85 opportunity zones to the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Recently, Roby Brock, with our partner Talk Business and Politics, sat down with Mike Preston, the executive director of the Arkansas Economic Development Commission, to learn more about these opportunity zones.
To fill everyone in, we have 337 potential opportunity zones in Arkansas. And really what that is, it's a low-income community as designated by the U.S. Department of Census and Bureau, the census tracts, 337. The governor had to do was nominate 85 of those, so roughly a quarter of them, to be an opportunity zone. An opportunity zone then becomes something, an area that you can invest funds into, capital gains, that if you keep it in there for a period of 10 years, you'll have a complete deferment of those capital gains and we won't have to pay taxes on them.
Right.
So it's a way to spur investment in an opportunity zone. And yes, it is a great opportunity, so we'll probably say that word a few times, but this is a unique program. It was tucked in the back of the tax bill in 2017.
Okay.
It kind of flew under the radar. But it's right in front of us now.
So how are the zones determined? Is it an average per capita income in those areas, or what's the defining statistic?
It's done by the Census Bureau, and it's based on the wage income. So if 40% of that low-income census tract is above the poverty line in that tract, it's designated as a low-income community. Again, we have 337 of them in the state. The other thing is if only 80% of the average household wage is 80% below the state or national average wage. So that's why we ended up with 337.
And I guess a little bit of this is almost like trying to get to 0% unemployment. You're never really going to get there, but it's the direction you want to move. You would like to not have 85 opportunity zones in a few years because of the investments you'd be encouraging.
Right. Ideally, you're going to have a new investment coming into these 85, and maybe these 85 are right there on the cusp, but they take it out of being designated as a low-income community as designated by the federal government. So yeah, you want to move it to there. This is going to be that shot in the arm that some of those communities are really looking for.
So what types of investments is the state looking to see take advantage of these opportunity zones? Give me some examples, I guess.
Well, and that's kind of the golden thing about this is the federal government wrote it in a way that right now that basically all investment can be put into it. Within the legislation, the traditional sin businesses, as you would call them, are excluded, but everything else will fit under there. So this can include everything from a traditional economic development project and manufacturing and corporate headquarters to a retail shop or hospitality, lodging, whatever that investment might be. As long as you're using those capital gains to invest in there, you're going to have that deferment for 10 years.
Okay. And so someone finds out and qualifies for this, do they contact AEDC? Do they contact their CPA? How does one kind of capitalize on this?
Well, and some of it is still being developed. Once the Treasury goes back and takes our recommendations and certifies that, yes, these all do qualify and we sign off and give you approval, they're going to hand that off to the IRS. That's always a scary transition.
Want to hand things off to the IRS, Mike. We never want to do that.
If I had my choice, we wouldn't have to. But per the legislation, the IRS will then develop the rules and regulations and the guidelines for it. So then, yeah, IRS is going to be a part of it. But what I would encourage people to do is to reach out to the local economic developer, their local chamber of commerce, so they know exactly where the zone is and the type of business that a community wants. And we're going to really lean on the communities and work with the community to say, hey, what is the type of investment that you're looking for? You look at like the downtown Hot Springs area, they end up with three tracks, and that includes the Arlington Hotel, the Old Majestic Hotel site in the downtown area. They're really looking at that tourism area. They're looking for redevelopment and dollars going into some of those venues. This is an opportunity for them to invest in an opportunity zone.
We hadn't turned it into a drinking game yet. We're keeping it clean.
So in an area like Hot Springs, they could probably lean heavily on that. And what we want to do from the state's perspective is work with the community. All right, we're going to help you promote this zone and gather up investors to support whatever business it is. In a small community, it might be something as simple as a retail operation, a gas station, you know, something like that would really make a big difference for them. In other areas, it could be something a lot more, bigger, an advanced manufacturing facility,
sure,
something around one of the steel mills in Mississippi County.
All right, so this is one area where tax cuts are having, I guess, some push through in terms of economic development. You and I talked a couple of months ago, several weeks ago at least, about things happening as a result of the big federal tax cut. What else are you seeing in terms of the pipeline, and has it shaken some money loose? Has it shaken some projects loose?
It has. It's shaken some projects loose. We don't have a shortage of projects right now. We just have a shortage of qualified sites that we're trying to get them into. And then the other thing is just trying to find the talent around that. The other thing that it's really done is really put a new emphasis on manufacturing, or a renewed emphasis on manufacturing, and certainly advanced manufacturing. I think you're going to see a strong push. Arkansas is positioned very well for that. 13% of our workforce is already engaged in manufacturing. That's sixth highest among all U.S. states. So Arkansas is already looked at as a state that can do manufacturing, and we're transitioning our workforce into that advanced manufacturing, things like the governor's computer coding initiative. That's preparing workers for the future and the type of manufacturing jobs that we're working for. It's no longer where you're, you know, a hammer and you're banging on something. It's you're on a machine and you're coding something. That machine is actually doing the work. But that's what advanced manufacturing is, and that's where Arkansas is positioned to be.
And I think we just reported maybe about a week ago that the National Association of Manufacturers, which is the big kind of trade group nationally, like the optimism index was like at 93% or 94%. It was a phenomenal
It's the
number.
Highest it's been in a long time.
20
that's,
years.
Yeah, yeah, that's exciting to see.
Mike Preston is the executive director of the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. He talked with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics, about the 85 opportunity zones the state of Arkansas is submitting to the Treasury Department. There are six such nominated zones in Washington County, four of those six in Springdale, as well as two in Benton County, four in Fort Smith, and one each in Ozark, Berryville, Boonville, Mena, and Russellville. We have a list and map of the nominated opportunity zones that you can find by going to a link at ozarksatlarge.com. And for more news about the state's business matters, you can go to talkbusiness.net.